man. What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. What happens if you go to the North Pole right now? What would you see at the North Pole right now? Plus, how to know if the person you're dating is crazy? Complete Weather, Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
More fallout from Pharaoh's, the jiggle joint that makes Buffalo so happy. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night. Another satisfied customer sets fire to the store. People of Walmart. Later. Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story about the robbery of a check cashing place in the Bronx that turns into a wild car chase before erupting into a gun battle at the Westchester County Medical Center. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
My gosh, did you see this? Iceland has declared a state of emergency with police officials urging residents to evacuate the coastal town following an intense wave of earthquakes in the southwest of the country linked to a possible volcanic eruption. But that's not quite it. Listen, nearly 800 earthquakes were recorded between midnight and 2 p.m. on Friday. The shallowest at a depth of 3.5 miles, according to official people. You know who the official people are. In statements Friday, Iceland's Civil Protection Agency said a magma tunnel is forming and could reach the major cities. But as of Friday evening, the Icelandic authority said it has been impossible to tell if and where the magma might break through the surface. There's a volcano in Iceland that's going to explode. They say it's going to go off. It's going to erupt. Underneath the earth are these tunnels of magma, lava, flowing through the earth, but they don't know where it's going. You imagine that? Now the mayor there or some official person is saying, you got to leave. You got to go. And I'm sure hundreds will say, no, I've lived through worse things like this, like all of South Florida when a hurricane comes. No, we're not going anywhere. And then never is that person heard from again. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a live radio show on giant radio stations across the country, much to the confusion and, frankly, the horror of most radio executives in North America. Like, how can this guy get on the radio if he doesn't scream at the Democrats? This radio station's entire purpose is to yell at the Democrats, how did he get away with this? Well, there are a couple factors. Number one, it's Sunday night, nobody cares. Most of the major radio executives right now are drunk on their butts. Number two is that they said, well, you know, it might be good to not scream at the Democrats for maybe like a couple minutes a week. Let's just see what happens. 9 years later, ladies and gentlemen, 9 years later, I am still here. And that's because of you. Midnight misfits. You and I don't fit in. And there's an astonishing amount of new information about being what you and I are, which is an introvert. And I'll share that coming up with you in just seconds. Plus, in 15 minutes, we're going to hear from world-famous radio talk show host Gary Arnell. Gary Arnell has been given a quandary. That's an SAT word. He's been given a quandary, which is he's scheduled to be on the radio Saturday afternoons, and pretty much every week he's preempted. He's on in Philadelphia, top five city, a major market, very important city, even though there's no exit sign for it on I-95. You go from New York to Delaware to Washington, D.C. There's no place that says get off here for Philadelphia. It's a pretend city. But he prepares the show. And I said, well, did you prepare to be on the air this week? He said, yeah. I said, well, were you on the air this week? He said, no. I said, well, why don't you come on my show at about 7:30 West Coast time at KFBK, 10:30 at WPHT, and let's hear what you had prepared. Plus, I'm going to share something with you that, to me, sums up why you and I have grown insane in trying to comply with who can I say what to who at what time, and then I need your advice. My 18-year-old daughter, who had a crappy car crash almost a year ago, recovering nicely, thank you, she gets on FaceTime with her older sister, the two of them looking at me conspiratorially on FaceTime. They're both of them looking at me on this, hi, Dad. I got a tattoo. I said, what? I got a tattoo. Now, having nothing to do with my daughters, as a rule, I do not find tattoos attractive. Because I have this annoying habit of thinking it through. Usually a person gets a tattoo between the ages of 18 and 25. Why is that? That's because once they get to be 26, they're just way too wise to do that. It finally dawns on them that it's permanent. Because to me, the thought through has to be, okay, this is permanent. How will this look when I'm 53, lying next to the pool with children? Maybe I want to get into a swimming club or a country club. Can I lie next to the pool with a dragon slinking up my leg when I'm 58 years old? How is that going to look? Very cute when you're 18. You can get away with everything when you're 18. I couldn't, but maybe you could. And so she has a tattoo, and I'll tell you what it is in just seconds, and I need to know what I should say to her so that there is never another tattoo put on that precious girl. As you can see, there are enormous things to share tonight, and I look forward to sharing them with you. Good evening. This is a live radio show, and you and I should talk. That's right. You and I should talk. This is a call-in radio show. You ready for the phone number? Because I'm going to need your advice about how to get Meredith to never put on another tattoo. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. You can also find that at our website, which is waltersterlingshow.com. waltersterlingshow.com, and there you can get information about how you and I can go to the French Riviera. That's right, you and me, introverts, people who don't like to talk to other people outside of a laundry room with a microphone, you and I can go to the French Riviera. Details are there. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Anna Kendrick.
So, and now there's a scene in the movie that I understand was pretty uncomfortable. You guys were in the shower together.
Uncomfortable was the best day of my life.
It's called Sterling on Sunday. It is live on Sunday night. There's nothing else live at this time. You're aware of that, aren't you? Everything else is tracked, pre-taped. All those FM music stations that you pretend that you like, that's all tracked and pre-recorded on Thursday. Probably the most current show is on Thursday. There are actual talk stations in America, spoken word stations, as people in the format insist on calling it, spoken word stations, that on Sunday night actually air audio from CBS television news shows that are recorded on Wednesday night or Thursday, shown on television on Sunday morning, and then the audio is played on the radio Sunday night, and somehow or another they think this is sophisticated programming. Why the heck would we put on Sterling on Sunday when we can have four-day-old audio and stories from the CBS news department? Why would we do that? I can't begin to tell you the insanity that I have put up with my entire career. Speaking of my entire career, quickly, let me explain who I am, because welcome, I'm glad that you're here, but you don't fit in. No normal person listens at this time. We're introverts. We like other people, we just don't like to actually be with other people. That's what an introvert is. That our internal life gives us all of the celebration and joy that we want. Isn't that right, Neil Paul and Keith Mortensen? Isn't that true? And our friends at the bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, welcome. Well, that's the situation. I used to wear a suit, a Brooks Brothers suit. I have a body born for Brooks Brothers. White button-down shirts, 100% cotton, everything. Repped ties, black wingtip shoes, and I was a wizard with PowerPoint. I'd stand in front of a room, and I'd look at the crowd, and they'd be, oh, my gosh, what's he going to say? And I will share with you a public speaking tip. If you do this, people will assign wisdom to you that you do not have, that I certainly did not have. I'd stand in front of a room talking to other media executives, very big deal media executives, and I was very blessed. I had enormous clients who I had no right to have, but I had enormous clients, and I'd stand in front of the room with a PowerPoint, and before I'd start to speak, I would be silent for longer than that. When you're silent longer than that before you give a speech, the room will be quiet. And the first thing you say will give you enormous wisdom, because it obviously took such painful struggle to get out of your mouth. Okay, that's public speaking tip number one. Public speaking tip number two is anytime I presented a number in a PowerPoint, I would add an odd number preceded by a decimal. 23.5, 23.7. The minute you add the 0.7 and the point odd number, you're brilliant. You have so much information, it's unbelievable. But what's happened over time, especially to freelancers like myself, professional consultants, people who would share information client to client to client, is that behavior in the hallway became more important than content coming out of my mouth. Now, I was very lucky. I never had trouble. I never had HR trouble. But I knew it was coming. I could see it was coming, because in this day and age, radio companies have actually lost their licenses to broadcast because an employee put up a goofy cartoon on Instagram. One goofy cartoon, couple months later, radio station gone. Or even dumber. And this, from a public relations standpoint, if you work for a company that would ever do this, you're in trouble. It's something bad will happen. If I say something critical of a public figure, not you, but a public figure, someone who's out front, in front of the crowds, on television, on radio, and I make a comment that's disparaging about their appearance or their accent or their hair color, I could easily find that I'm going to get a lawsuit or an injunction to shut up and cease and desist from their employer, and my employer would make me give a public apology. Like, what? What? The minute a company makes an employee give a public apology, that second, hundreds of thousands or more people know about that event than would have if it had just gone by. If it had just gone by. And the standards have changed so much that if I were to say something disparaging or use one or two words that were deemed inappropriate by probably female employees, I would lose this station. Not 100 words, not a half hour speech, one or two words, that could do it. And to show you how much times have changed, have I ever told you about Humble Harv? Did I ever share the story of Humble Harv with you? Humble Harv was a real disc jockey, a big deal disc jockey in Los Angeles. Listen to Humble Harv. Take a listen.
On your Humble Harv show. On we go, 905 KBLA album giveaway time. Late night and early morning, low clouds and fog, hazy sunshine in the afternoon, Wednesday and Thursday. This is the only Len Batty at Philly Boyle makes good twice in a row.
That's a real disc jockey. And he sounded that good every break for years. In Los Angeles, crazy competitive creative landscape. But you see, Humble Harv had a troublesome wife. And when he was on the air on a regular basis, She would call him up when he was on the air and say, Harv, I'm in bed with my lover. I'm in our bed with my lover. What are you going to do about it? If you don't like it, you can come and shoot me. But he was on the air, and this was long before voice tracking. He was on the air live in Los Angeles on big radio stations, and one day he said to the program director, I'm going to tape my show tomorrow. Got to go to the doctor. He pre-recorded his show, his noon to three show, and he went home, and he found his wife in bed with her lover, and he shot her. How he got the gun, who had the gun, much debate, okay? But he shot her and injured the lover, and there was an 11-year-old daughter, girl, somebody's daughter, I don't know whose, in the house. Kills his wife, injures the lover, 11-year-old daughter in the house. A couple weeks later, gets arrested, thrown in jail for many years. After 2.5 years, he gets released. He murdered his wife, injured another person, 11-year-old girl was in the house. Pretty much should have ended the career because, you know, if you make fun of Erin Andrews, your career's over. Today, Erin Andrews, your career's, put up a funny cartoon on Instagram, your career's over. Say somebody looks fat, your career's over. Make fun of a person's haircut, your career's over. Make fun of a person's accent or cultural stereotypes, your career's over. But Humble Harv killed his wife, was arrested, sent to jail. Listen, the second he got out of jail in Los Angeles, he was hired immediately by a big FM station. And then he was hired by another big FM station. And then he was hired by Westwood One to voice multiple radio documentaries with that voice. Multiple radio documentaries. Wait. Humble Harv killed his wife. Not conjecture. He was convicted for it. He went to jail. He was let out many years early with the judge saying, well, he's done his time. Let him. Oh, wait, he's available? What a great jock he is. Let's hire Humble Harv, not in Des Moines, and let him rebuild his career. No, right away in Los Angeles on a big FM station and then on another radio station and all at publicly held companies. CBS, RKO, Infinity, and Westwood One. He was hired by Westwood One after murdering his wife, but gosh help you if you say one or two words that just seem to offend somebody today. You know, the person Harv offended just wasn't around to share her thoughts. That's how much life has changed. Gary Arnell, famous radio talk show host, prepared a show for his audience on Saturday. And then a game that absolutely nobody cares about was aired, and he was preempted again. And I thought, well, this is very unfair. Gary should be able to share his show, share his information. Coming up in seconds, we'll do that. Plus, in a half hour, what is it? No, at midnight or 9 p.m. on the West Coast, we're going to hear an amazing new theory on the JFK assassination. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Shapiro.
I was looking up the names of the eight. I'm so angry that we're even in this situation at this point in time.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
More fallout from Pharaoh's, the jiggle joint that makes Buffalo so happy. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night. Another satisfied customer sets fire to the store. People of Walmart. Later. Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story about the robbery of a check cashing place in the Bronx that turns into a wild car chase before erupting into a gun battle at the Westchester County Medical Center. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
888-688-WALT. It's a live radio show. That means you can pick up the phone and we get to speak to the nation. Every time you hear somebody say, the media, you know, the media. Well, when you call me, you get to be the media and you get to share your deep thoughts and feelings about how do I keep my daughter from getting another tattoo? But I don't mean to interfere with Gary Arnell's sacred time. Gary, it's shocking that you prepared a major market radio show and you were preempted by football? Very depressing. Share with us, please, Gary, what you were going to talk about on the radio in Philadelphia today.
I will. First of all, I thought you were going to say it was shocking that you prepared for the show. the way it was going to start.
No, that would be me.
That would be, okay, all right, I got that. All right, so listen, I'm just going to focus in on two topics that I was going to do on the Saturday 3 to 5 p.m. Arnell show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Plug, plug, plug. Number one, the second story is going to have to do with Costco and food samples. This is just unbelievable. But the number one story, in all of the chaos that we are living in this world right now, a chasm that is as wide can be, I believe that one of the ways that we can bring ourselves back together to some type of a place where we can have a conversation, we can sit down, actually sip a little coffee and talk to each other. One of the things that people have to learn to do is that they've got to sample. Everybody's got their favorite cable news network at night, whether it be Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, the quickly expanding, plug here, News Nation, which recently added Lee Harris, the former legendary 1010 Morning Winds anchor and friend to this show, to its management team, and One America News, Newsmax. Okay, so here's what happens. I'm on my show on Saturday, and I am saying that, you know, I watched MSNBC for a little bit last night, so the phones ring. Okay, people are coming in on the stream, the app, and so forth. Arnell, you're a rhino. You're a rhino. You're a Republican in name only. You should not be watching that progressive liberal bastion of MSNBC. But my take on this is that you should watch occasionally other networks that may be proselytizing and proffering different opinions than those that you have stocked your political ideological faith in, those that you have tethered yourself to. So when you do that, and you listen and you watch other networks and hear what other people have to say, it will either confirm that you are 100% right about your beliefs, or you may begin to question what you are believing and then become more open in conversation. So that's the first story. And that's very difficult to do, Walter. Very difficult for people to say, because of the cult-like atmosphere that we live in today, to say, you know what, let me go over there for a couple of minutes. And when people do go over for a couple of minutes and they saw something on another network, and then they say, hey, did you see that guy, a guy who watches Fox all the time, a woman watches Fox all the time, did you see what happened on MSN last night? That guy was on. And immediately somebody says, you watch that network? We're not going to have another conversation. All right, so sample around. Confirm for yourself your political, ideological thought and process by taking in other opinions. That's story number one. Number two, Costco. I'm in Costco, and let me just tell you, first of all, the best hot dog on the planet, and I think Walter agrees with me on this one, all beef dog, forget about, you don't have to go to a higher authority, you don't need the umbrella, $1.50 hot dog, refillable soda, Costco, loss leader. They're taking a loss on it. They pledged never to change it. I think it's the best hot dog in the world. Forget about America. Food samples. Food samples in Costco. I was in there this weekend, and they had some kind of a chicken breast, whatever, it was grilled. I said, okay, I'm looking at, you know, low carb now, keto, trying to behave and so forth. They put the stuff in to heat it up. Now, as it's going in to heat up, and if you've been in Costco, you've seen this. Already there is anxiety. People are strategizing. How am I going to get up there? You would think that those people in Costco, Walter, have been living or residing in a country where there has been no food or no water literally for a week, 2 weeks, a month. I don't understand this. It's as though I've never seen a piece of chicken before. I've never seen a piece of chicken coming out of a microwave oven looking like that before. And so you stand there, and then everybody gets angry at the person who doesn't even work for Costco. So don't complain to them, because these are private employers, because they're not loading the chicken or cutting it quick enough to put it into those little paper cups. It's just astounding to me, and I will tell you this, I took not one, but two pieces, and a woman standing next to me. By the way, you should know this about samples as well. You can take as many as you want. They just don't want you to take the tray, okay? The woman standing behind me when I took the second piece, she literally criticized me and admonished me and said to me, "You already had one," as though she had not eaten for the past month and one half. By the way, Costco, if you don't want the lines, Monday and Tuesday, the best days, you're probably not going to find as many samples. Most popular, I didn't believe this, because when I see these samples, I don't go after them. Well, baked brownies and tortilla chips are two of the hottest samples that they have there. But I just don't understand. It's as though we are in a third world, malnourished country, and people have never seen a tortilla chip come out with some kind of condiment on them, and they're looking and they're salivating and they're standing there and they're strategizing. Don't get it. Two of the stories, Walter, that I was going to cover this weekend, well, trying to bring us back together, yeah. And Costco with those samples driving me nuts.
All right, well, programming tip is I wouldn't waste my time about the MSNBC story. I would have just gone right into the Costco story.
Beautiful.
And I also wait strategically to get the free samples at Costco, because you can get the wrong ones. Like if it has a lot of vegetables or asparagus on it, I have no interest in that.
Yeah.
But if it's crab meat or has too much cheese on it, that's for me. Gary Arnell. Are you going to be on next week, Gary? Are you going to be on the radio next week?
Listen, I am not sure yet, but you know, because I'm a nonstop prep machine.
Prep machine.
I'm working on it now, baby, and we'll see what happens.
The great Gary Arnell, if he's not on WPHT in his regular time slot next week in Philadelphia, he will be back on Sterling on Sunday to share his show prep with you and me. Good evening, 45 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
This is an amazing story. Iceland declares state of emergency and evacuates over a threat of a volcanic eruption. A lava field formed after the 2021 eruption of some giant volcano. The site is located close to a major town in Iceland. Iceland has declared a state of emergency. But get this, there have been nearly 800 earthquakes that have been recorded between midnight and 2 p.m. on Friday. 800 earthquakes. If you ever lived through one earthquake, I've lived to like three in my life, and it was always in San Francisco. You and I can't imagine what 800 earthquakes is like. It's amazing. Keith Fons lives in North Pole, Alaska, which is about as close to Iceland as you and I want to get. Is there major, the stupid question, I should know the answer to this, Keith Fons, a major Alaskan that you are there active volcanoes near you in Alaska?
In Alaska, yeah, there is several active ones, but close to us, not really. Like, we get little earthquakes, but nothing like Iceland's dealing with.
When was the last time you had an earthquake?
We felt one last week. I think it was a 3.5.
Did it do any damage?
No. Most of the time, they don't do any damage. They just come on really quick and then disappear. are the, well, it's not like California where they, you know, they stick around for a longer period of time.
Are the Northern Lights out tonight?
Tonight they're not, but last night they were definitely out dancing.
My friend, if you have never seen the Northern Lights, that alone is reason to head north at the right time of year to see them, because no matter what the photo shows, no matter how they have been described to you, it doesn't come close to what it looks like. It's just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Now, Keith Fonz lives in North Pole, Alaska, a real town. And my hunch is at this time of year, between now and Christmas, there may be people from the lower 48 coming up just to visit North Pole, Alaska. If I were to come to North Pole, Alaska between now and the 24th of December, what would I see? Would that be a worthwhile trip?
Well, you'd get to see me and my Christmas lights on my vehicle. But other than that, we got Santa's house. We got the Santa's reindeer. They're here. And then, like you said, the Northern Lights, they, this time of year, they just love to come out, and you would stay up all night long just to watch them. And then a lot of people that come up here to visit, you know, they go to like the Santa Claus house during the day while it's open. And then at night, they'll take like an hour drive because we have the hot springs, and you can sit in the hot springs and just watch the Northern Lights dance above you.
Sit in hot springs, watch the Northern Lights. What's the air temperature when I do that?
Well, like right now, it's about 14 degrees outside. But when you're sitting in the hot springs, it doesn't feel like it because you're sitting in like 100, 200 degree hot water and just watching the sky dance.
If I were to take my 11-year-old to North Pole, what would she see in Santa's house? Can I go in Santa's house?
Yeah, you can. They have a really good gift shop. You can go and get pictures with Santa. They even have little tiny elf doors throughout the house that you can't go in, but they're little tiny elf doors. And then in the same area, like I said, they got the Reindeer Academy, so they have all of Santa's reindeer sitting out there. And we have, I would say, probably 300-foot Santa sitting outside Santa's house.
So you can't miss it.
No, definitely not.
Keith Fonz is in North Pole, Alaska. And what a great thing that would be to take 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kid to North Pole, Alaska to see Santa's house. How big is Santa's house?
Huge.
Huge.
If it was a normal house, it would probably be a mansion. It's just... it's incredible. When Santa's house first was built, it was just this little tiny building, and they've added on to it over the years to make it just one of the biggest houses in our area. It is, I think it is the biggest house in North Pole.
Now, if I'm going to make a trip to North Pole, Alaska, I'd want to be in touch with a native like you. So Keith Fonz lives in actually North Pole, Alaska, which is a suburb of Fairbanks, which is where we have a giant affiliate. Keith, how would I get in touch with you so that maybe when I come to visit North Pole, Alaska, I could directly get in touch with you and you could give me local tips? How do I get in touch with Keith Fonz?
Well, you can just go to my Facebook at Keith Fonz and you can send me a message there. I am on literally Facebook hours a day while I'm working, so that's the best way for people to contact me.
There's no middle initial or anything. Sometimes it gets screwy on Facebook. So exactly, yep. How are you listed?
Keith, K-E-I-T-H, middle initial R, and then Fonz, F-O-N-S.
There was a middle initial. That'll screw people up every time. Keith R, F-O-N-S. Keith, as always, thank you for being a very important part of Sterling on Sunday. When you see pictures of Keith Fonz, he looks exactly like he sounds. Whatever you imagine Keith Fonz looks like, that's what he looks like. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to a really bizarre person who is a psychic and a lawyer. Let's take the two most questionable professions and combine them into one person
And that's who we'll talk to when we talk about how to know if the person that you're about to date on their first date is crazy or not. That's what we got to find out. Speaking of crazy, my 18-year-old daughter Meredith got a tattoo and told me after. I don't think it was an act of rebellion. She got a tattoo of her cat. She has a beautiful, sweet cat named Lily. And she had a photograph of it and gave it to the tattoo artist. And the tattoo artist did it. And she said, do you want to see it on FaceTime? She said, do you want to see the cat? And I said, let me process this. I have not seen the cat yet. I said, let me just process that you have a tattoo. Because, and I did not say this to her, I don't like tattoos. I don't think tattoos are a good idea because they're permanent. God help you if you change your mind. When you're 58 at the country club pool, you look down and there's a giant snake going up your thigh. Not a good look at the country club pool. I don't want her to get another one. And if you have a suggestion on how I can convince Meredith to not get another one without turning it into a potential for rebellion, I would appreciate that. Here's my number. It's 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. How about that? A vanity phone number. 888-688-WALT. How do I prevent Meredith from getting a second tattoo, Sterling, on Sunday?
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
How the heck do you tell an 18-year-old daughter that, okay, so you got one tattoo, I really don't want you to get a second tattoo? Advice, please. 888-688-WALT. You and I can talk live right now. 888-688-WALT. Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
More fallout from Pharaoh's, the jiggle joint that makes Buffalo so happy. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night. Another satisfied customer sets fire to the store. People of Walmart. Later. Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story about the robbery of a check cashing place in the Bronx that turns into a wild car chase before erupting into a gun battle at the Westchester County Medical Center. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Not as crazy as the time I found out that my husband was having an affair with my mother while I was also dealing with severe postpartum depression after giving birth to twins when I was only 29 weeks pregnant. Their affair lasted roughly 4 months before I finally definitively caught them red-handed. And the story of how I found out, that needs its own video. But when I did confirm that the affair was happening, I left immediately with my children. And the day, the night that I left with my daughters, my mother moved into my house with my husband.
And that's a great story because this is the moment. This is the adult time of year. This is the adulting time of year between now and January 1st when we have to confront our relatives. We have to confront our relatives. It's an unnatural thing. And the hardest thing to remember is that once I'm over the age of 18, I'm a volunteer. I don't actually have to see any relative ever again as long as I live. Now, my current wife, or as she likes to call herself, your only wife, is close enough with her family. She made a decision in her head to be close with her family, and they all made a decision to be close with each other, except that there's very little evidence beyond that decision to really support it.
There have been times in my life where I would have appreciated their support and love and sympathy and empathy and money. But that didn't happen. That can't happen. And in fact, my sister-in-law lives in a house in Greenwich, Connecticut. Let's just think about that a minute. That's like Grosse Pointe, Bel Air, South Street's Plantation, those places. And Hyde Park, that fancy part outside of Boston, those communities, right? Greenwich is like that. In Greenwich, everybody doesn't just have a pool, they have a lake. Everybody has their own lake. Her challenge right now is that it seems she wants to add an addition to her house, but adding a second floor addition cannot be supported by the first floor. Therefore, what does she have to do? Oh, my gosh. Oh, gee. She has to tear it down. She's going to tear down her house, and she's not happy with the way the architect is dealing with her versus her husband. She thinks the architect is taking her husband more seriously than her. But they also have a pond. Now, this is not little. It's a pretty big pond. It's been hard for me to see it because it's on the other side of the pool, and it looks swampy. I'm not going over there. I'm not going to get anywhere near. It looks like quicksand, like on a Warner Brothers cartoon. There could be quicksand over there. Well, it seems that the pond is not adequate, and they're going to have it dredged. Now, I heard about the need to dredge the pond a year ago, and I thought this would have been done already. I don't know what the problem is. Do you need a lot of permits to get your own pond dredged? Or is it difficult to find a company that will dredge it? Because on the Curse of Oak Island, they bring in this giant dredging equipment from Chicago to the Atlantic Ocean. They build bridges for it so they can go down 250 feet to find nuggets of gold. Now, you let me know who 200 years ago could get down 250 feet on an island to bury gold. Who would have been able to do that exactly? And on the Curse of Oak Island, everything they dig up could have easily been washed ashore from a shipwreck. Nothing seems to me to be planted treasure. Perhaps I'm just a cynic. But my sister-in-law, they have a house. A guest house, otherwise known as a barn, on the property. It's a beautiful guest house, otherwise known as a barn. Well air-conditioned, nice furniture. It's a terrific guest house. And it's near Manhattan. And my kids want to work in Manhattan during the summer. They want to have internships during the summer. All their friends are there. They were born in Manhattan, all of that. And my sister-in-law, remember, they have money to dredge a pond. My sister-in-law said to my kids, okay, you can stay in the barn for the summer, but you're going to have to pay for electricity. You'll have to pay for the electricity. Like, what? Have to pay for the electricity. Granted, it's New York City Con Edison electricity. It's Northeast Con Edison electricity. It could easily run $700, $800 a month to run one air conditioner in that barn for the summer. No, I'm not kidding. That's what she told him. And I said to my current wife, I said, let me get this straight. The percent of the electric bill of my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law versus the percent of the electric bill for the income of my kid on a summer job is insane. Like, it would be 900% of my kid's income. All right. I thought that was bad enough. It was a non-issue because they didn't have the summer job. They weren't living there. It didn't happen yet. And therefore, I was mature enough. I had enough emotional maturity to not bring it up, which is very unusual for me as a professional talk show host. Instead, when it's all done, and my daughter mentions it to her again, you know, to pay electricity would really be hard for me as an intern or blah, blah, blah. My sister-in-law manipulatively said the following. Oh, I wasn't really going to make you pay for the electricity. I just wanted you to give me the money and I'd hold it and give it back to you to teach you how to save. Like, what? I would hold the money
on a false pretense to teach you how to save, as though my wife and I had asked her to teach this lesson. No. As though my wife and I had asked her to hold on to my daughter's hard-earned money. No. She had just unilaterally decided to teach a life lesson in how to save. Coming up in seconds, you and I will talk about how to tell if that person sitting across from you on the first or second date is in fact crazy, if they're insane. And I'd really like your advice. My 18-year-old daughter, my beautiful 18-year-old daughter, got a tattoo this week, and I found out about it after the fact. Oh, I got a tattoo. Do you want to see it? No, I want to process it. But I don't want her to have a second tattoo. And if you have any suggestions on how to convince her to not get a second tattoo, I'd appreciate it. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Want to hear it again? Got a call. 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Steve Harvey.
Okay, you want truth? This is why men lie. Because we are afraid of your reaction to the truth.
The level of indictments that seem to be coming out of Pharaoh's Gentleman's Club in the Buffalo area seems to be a never-ending story. The owner of that club, a feller named Peter Garacci, apparently was connected with the Italian mob. As crazy as that may seem, a retired DEA agent was a part of the stuff. He shielded criminals from being detected by law enforcement and took in about $250,000 of bribes. Yep, that's what's going on. DEA agent Joseph Bongiovanni. Bongiovanni, no relation to John Bon Jovi, apparently. Then there was a very special lady in the life of Peter Garacci, Jessica Leland. Jessica Leland's 36 and perhaps was a former dancer and had a long-term close relationship with Peter Garacci. One could only guess what that would be, but apparently Leland charged with witness tampering and also the possession of cocaine, 5 counts. Apparently she was selling some coke, as well as another feller named Andrew Clements. Both those wonderful people are from Buffalo. So you go to the Jiggle Joint. Ironically, a lot of these places, not all, I don't want to be stereotypical here, are run by not necessarily the most savory of individuals. You get your jiggle, you get your lap dance, you get your cocaine, and you get your champagne. What else would you ever want in life? I hope President Biden pardons all of them. From the champagne room, it's Strippers on the Loose. This is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
I'm not stupid, but I've never experienced this before, and that's why I need your advice. And one of the things I've learned in my maturity is asking for help is a sign of maturity. My 18-year-old daughter now has a tattoo. It is a small tattoo on her arm of her cat, of her beloved cat, Lily. I found out about this after the fact. I have not seen it yet. I'm not emotionally ready to see it, but I sure as heck don't want her to have any more tattoos, because tattoos never age well. I can't think of anybody who got a tattoo at 20 and it looked much better than when they were 50. What should I do? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Linda, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call, Walt. My family doctor, one time I went to see her, she had been on vacation, got herself a tattoo, but then informed me that certain kind of ink that was used would gradually wear off. And next time when I did see her, it was completely gone. So steering somebody towards the ink that wears off, I think would be something to try.
Linda, do you know what that ink is called besides a miracle?
I think it's it's hemp, but somebody could do some research there maybe and come up with it for sure.
Linda,
but
Linda,
it definitely wore off.
There's nobody here who's going to do any research. Everybody here is very lazy. It's a miracle if I can get anybody to get a cup of coffee. It's like some big, you know, we don't really work. Linda, thank you for listening to Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Mark, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. How do I convince my 18-year-old daughter to not get another tattoo?
Well, once you get one tattoo, you tend to want more. So what you need to do is buy some time. You need to buy a year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years if you can. And the way to do that is to find out what she really, really, really wants. A trip to Japan, expensive purse, a Rolex, a pendant. January 1st, 2027, if you don't get a tattoo, then I'll get you that gift. And you show deposits over the months to come that you're doing it, that you're holding up your end, and if you buy time, 2, 3, 4 years, you might grow out of it.
Mark, that's very sage advice. It also sounds very pricey advice. I mean, I gave her a car. I gave her the iPhone 15, all because the sympathy for the accident that she has. Now I have to bribe her to not damage her body. This seems like a very expensive proposition that I am damn sure I'm going to do. Thank you very much for the call, Mark. Yep. 888-688-WALT. Speaking of trips, for months I have mentioned in passing, sometimes for long periods of time, that I love the French Riviera, the Côte d'Azur. I loved the French Riviera, so much so that I knelt in the Mediterranean and pulled out of the sea a diamond ring and asked my wife, Katie, to marry me in the Mediterranean. In the French Riviera. She was in shock because she had never seen me actually go into the water anywhere. What? He wants to go into the water? What? It was all for this big show, and we got a picture of it. And you can see the picture moments after I gave her that ring in a brochure I would love to send you. It's not like a big book. It's a nice, beautiful four-color brochure that explains the Walter Sterling Show spotlight on the French Riviera. Next October, I'm taking a small group of introverts with me to the French Riviera, and I'd really like you to come along. Now, you might be thinking, oh, it's going to cost a fortune. No. I know what a week at the Jersey Shore costs. I know what a week in Fort Lauderdale costs. And you take a look for yourself. I think you'll find this is less, and it's 10 days on the French Riviera in October, which is when you want to go there. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, scroll down a little, you'll see a beautiful picture of the beach in Nice. Yeah, it's Nice, a picture of Nice, and it's spectacular. These are some of the things that you and I can do if you feel like it. We'll get a tour, and then we'll go to an artist's haven, where we'll see some of the greatest artists of Europe, where they work, where they display. We'll go to the flower market in Nice, which is world famous. In Monaco, we'll travel along the spectacular coastal road to the Principality of Monaco. And then we'll have a walk around Monaco. We'll see the Cathedral of Monaco, the permanent resting place of Prince Rainier and Princess Grace. And the casino at Monte Carlo. The one in all the movies, I've been in it, and it's crazy. Plus, we'll go to Cannes and have a wine tasting in Cannes, and we'll go to a perfume factory and make our own perfume, if you want to, or you can lie on the beach. Unlike other tours I've heard about, the people at Colette Travel, they've been doing this a long time. They heard the show. They said, well, why don't we put together a tour for you and the Misfits? And I said, okay, but here's my rule. I'm not moving around a lot. One hotel. We go to one hotel. It's in Nice. It's a nice hotel. And that's where we stay for 9 or 10 days. In Nice. One hotel, not moving around. We're going to have a nice time. Get all the information. Two ways to get it. I will send you a personal note and a holiday card and this brochure if you send me your real mail address.
send that to waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I'll get it out to you this week. Or go to the website, waltersterlingshow.com, and then just scroll down a little, and you'll see a beautiful picture of the French Riviera, and click on the link, and instantly you'll get all the information. Or, like I said, send me an email right now, but right now, because it's a surprisingly few number of people are going to get to go. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Send me your real address, and I'll send you a real brochure. I really want to spend this time with you. Next October, plenty of time to plan and strategize, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Harvey Holiday.
Late on a Sunday night, it's Holiday with love music, and it's so sad to see good love go bad.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Another satisfied customer sets fire to the store. People of Walmart. Later, Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story about the robbery of a check cashing place in the Bronx that turns into a wild car chase before erupting into a gun battle at the Westchester County Medical Center. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell a story about a robbery of a check cashing place that turned into a wild car chase and gun battle. So it was probably about 1989 or 1990. I'm a young cop. It was a Saturday, I believe. I had a rest from the night before. I took my personal car and I was driving down to court. So as I'm crossing 233rd Street, I see beneath me on the Bronx River Parkway, a bunch of police cars chasing this car up the Bronx River Parkway. And at the time, I had a Hyundai. There was no way I could get involved in that chase. Plus, I was supposed to be on my way to court. I watched a caravan of cops chasing this car up the Bronx River into Westchester County. Well, what happened was these guys robbed a check cashing place in the 4-7. They got recognized by the police, and it turns into this wild car chase. The car chase goes up over by Westchester County Medical Center, where you have the county jail and a large medical center up there. The bad guy's car either crashes or stalls out. It's on the grounds of this, and you've probably got 15 police cars that they're there, and this gun battle erupts. So my former partner, who I work with years later, he's on his way home from work. He's going up the Bronx River Parkway. He sees the chase, and he says, you know what? What the hell? I'm off duty. I'm going home. I'm going to get involved in this. So he follows the caravan up. He's the last car to get into this parking lot of Westchester County Medical Center, and he sees this wild gun battle, and the bad guys got their doors open, the police have their doors open, and they're just shooting it out. So what he does is he flanks them. He pulls up on, I always called it the grassy knoll, up on a hill, and what he does is, with no cover or regards for his life, he starts coming down the grassy knoll, and all he's got is his 5-shot .38 snub nose, which is great for up close and personal, but the short of the barrel isn't really good for a running gun battle or shooting over 30-40 yards. So what he does is he sees this gun battle, he gets down on one knee, and one of the bad guys has the door open. He's using it as for cover as he's shooting at the cops, and my former partner takes a shot at the guy, and he says the bullet whizzed over his head, he heard it, and now all of a sudden he focuses his attention on me, and he wheels, and now the guy starts shooting at me. My former partner told me the second shot he got off, he caught the guy in the armpit, and the guy started swinging and firing the air. My partner got off a third shot, and this one hit him in the top of the head. And I says, well, what happened? Did he moan or anything? He said, no, it looked like a tomato exploded, and he fell over the side of the car. The driver of the car gave up ultimately, and I think he was hit a couple of times too. But long story short, my former partner got a medal, and you know, he walked out of that thing alive. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
Michelle Welch is a highly accomplished person, author, psychic, intuitive, licensed lawyer. Let's stop there. A psychic intuitive and a licensed lawyer. These are two of the most questionable professions imaginable. A psychic and a practicing criminal and civil lawyer combined in one person named Michelle Welch. Michelle was on last week. I had a great time talking to her. I have two questions for Michelle Welch, who will present crystal recipes for the holidays, and I'll tell you how to get a hold of some of her crystal holiday recipes in just seconds. But there are two things that really bother us. How do I know if the person I'm dating is a good person or a crazy person? What is the intuitive vibration for that? And if I'm in a job interview, what should I do to make sure I get that job? What are the intuitive instincts, signs, signals that I should pay attention to? First, how do I know if somebody that I'd like to date is crazy, Michelle Welch? How do I know if they're crazy?
Hi, thanks for having me back on. So I guess it depends on your definition of crazy, but I actually would do it intuitively. So I'm serious. I would go, if you really don't know how to look, not you, but people don't know how to look for those red flags, like I did, I tapped in because I was listening and I thought, okay, what would we do with this? I got that if somebody is really spoil and they're coming from that's a big red flag, because it sounds like, oh, I'm marrying this great family, and really, really overly smart, like super, super smart, and then they just don't ever seem like they're grounded, and they're just always living in this like bubble of they can do whatever they want. That seems to be a combo for red flags that I intuitively get that would be something to look for. Because crazy comes, I mean, that word, the connotation, I think it depends on what our tolerance or triggers are, right?
Yeah.
I would say it's same for guys, but I do think there's probably different red flags that we would look for. But for me, when I do readings, I do get asked that question a lot, and we frame it more like, you know, what's this going to turn out like? I mean, what will this look like? And if we get, okay, they're going to spend all your money, they're going to come in doing, like, just screaming, yelling, doing stuff all the time, and, you know, just whatever the definition of crazy connotation we're using.
Well, I'll give you a definition. Let me give you a definition. Because it's different for a crazy man and crazy woman. A crazy man...
I agree.
...is much more dangerous, because a crazy man could likely take it out in some form of violence. But a crazy woman is much trickier, because to any guy who's ever dated a crazy woman, the woman we fear is the one who calls us at 2:16 in the morning because she just wants to talk. There's no greater horror than a call from a woman at 2:16 in the morning. Hi, you know, I enjoyed going out with you two nights ago, and I've been thinking about you. I just thought I'd call and see how you are doing. All right, that's terrifying. The other sign of a crazy woman is women have a very different relationship with their footwear than men do. And if a woman's footwear is a disaster, the soles are falling apart, they're heavily scuffed, the heels are broken down, okay, that woman's crazy.
Okay. So with that definition, it fits what I said, because if she's calling it that early in the morning, she clearly isn't working, she isn't pursuing other things, she has time on her hands to just think of calling people in the middle of the night. I still get that, there's a lot of people being raised spoiled, given everything they want. Then you go to the shoes. That person probably might have some nice shoes, but I was always told the same thing. My mom was like, it doesn't matter what your hair looks like, what you're wearing. If your shoes are nasty, then that's an issue. And I see a lot of people who come through in mediumships, like from other frequencies that have passed, they talk about shoes. So I would say the same. I mean, the biggest red flags that I get usually with that connotation, they're calling you in the middle of the night, is they don't have enough to do and they don't have self-esteem. And that shows up pretty daggum fast. I think people put up with it because at first they want to believe that they're pretty or they're whatever, and they're going to put up with it. Now, maybe guys don't always think they'll change them, but they put up with it for a little while. But I think they know from the beginning. A lot of people, I don't think we really have to know, how do I know if they're crazy? Because, for instance, I think you would know pretty quickly if somebody was.
Michelle Welch is a lawyer and a psychic intuitive based in Texas, which is the home of all the big shot lawyers and psychic intuitives. And Michelle Welch is a big deal in both worlds. Now, you said something very scary. You just said that people who have crossed over to the other side often bring up issues about shoes. How often does this happen? How do they bring up this issue about shoes, Michelle?
Okay, so really quickly, the way I do mediumship is you can see people sometimes, actually communicate with them, or you sense them, or you're picking up on what the person is talking to you, the one who wants the reading from their loved one. You're picking up on, you're just getting intuitive impressions like a regular reading, or you're picking up on what the person you're reading for wants to hear. It's almost like telepathy, right? So you're not really talking to somebody on the other side. So I'm very honest with the people I read for. Am I really seeing their grandmother, or am I just getting an impression? And I say, what does this mean to you? Because this, I'm seeing this, 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 but I don't want to lie to them and say, I'm talking to your grandmother, but I'm really not. So, that's how I start off, and I'm not sure where I was going with that, but I think it's always very, very important, because when I talk with them, okay, so if they bring up shoes, it would be all of a sudden, they don't lose their total ego. I mean, they still may ask, well, why are you wearing your hair like that? And the ones who, and most the mediums that I find, and I'm pretty ethical. I mean, I'm pretty picky. If I can't get anything, I'll tell people I'm not getting anything. I find they're always saying, well, they just want to tell you they love you. Okay, they do. But usually if you already had that relationship and you knew you loved each other, they still are going to go back to those things that they would kind of say, not mean, not critical necessarily, but how they really talked to you when they were living. My mother talked about my shoes, and she is living, and my grandmother did too. And I get that a lot. I mean, they talk about your everyday things just like they did when they were alive.
Michelle Welch,
I love you.
Michelle Welch, how do we get in touch with you, Michelle Welch, if somebody wants a specific crystal recipe or advice on love or a good lawyer? How do I get in touch with Michelle Welch?
It's michellewelch.com, and my books are open because I just turned in my third book, thank God on that, to Llewellyn Publishing, so they're open. And can I answer the tattoo thing?
No.
May I just say?
Oh, yes, you can answer the tattoo thing. How do I get my 18-year-old daughter to not get a second tattoo? Yes, Michelle, how?
Make her put it on the wall, because I always say, if you won't hang it on the wall, you should not hang it on your body, right? I mean, like, if you're not going to hang something on your wall, so put it, and then I don't think you're going to make that happen, because I pull cards, but I think they want to express themselves in some way. But also, I don't know if she likes Miley Cyrus, but guess what? Miley Cyrus just came out with a song saying all the things that we regret, and one of them is tattoos.
There you go.
Yeah.
Michelle Welch, you're
somebody cool.
Yeah, you're a terrific guest on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. You will be on again much sooner than you want to be. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ben from Lost.
When did you start sleeping with a bottle of scotch by the bed?
When the nightmare started.
How was that?
I mean, it was pretty good.
Wait, what's going on in here? Are you really cheating on me with my best friend?
No, it's not cheating.
Like, seriously?
No, you can join us. It won't be cheating if you join us.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Scoot over.
So, how do I convince my 18-year-old daughter to not get another tattoo? I found out she had a tattoo after she got the first tattoo, which is a nice tattoo on her arm of her cat. It doesn't take up her whole arm. It isn't a snake up her thigh. It's just a little. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't had the guts to see it yet. But I don't want her to get another one. And I don't want to do it in such a way that it becomes an act of rebellion. What advice do you have for me? The reason I need advice is because I've never had to deal with a tattoo in my life on anybody. And I personally am very nervous about tattoos, not because of how it is today, but how it's going to look 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I also have a belief that any time I put on a tattoo or wear permanent jewelry in my nose, it cuts down on the number of people who would be interested in having an intimate relationship with me. There are going to be people who are going to be scared of a young woman with any tattoo. There are going to be people who are scared of the nose ring. They're going to be, it cuts down on access to the world. It can cut down on job opportunities. It can cut down on romance. It can cut down on friendships and membership in the country club. If someday it might be a good idea to join the country club. Now, this may be my very narrow, waspy view of the world, which is weird because I'm not a wasp. I'm half Catholic, half Jewish. Everybody's very confused about this. But according to that DNA thing, I forget what it's called. Who knows what I am? But I know this, that between now and January 31st, oh, my phone number, 888-688-WALT, advice please, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. It's a live radio show on KFBK in Sacramento, the dominant radio station in Sacramento, and good luck with the freeway this week. Oh, my gosh, poor people. I feel terrible for us with the freeway. It's good luck. Anyway, between now and New Year's Eve, you and I are going to be pressured and spend a lot of money on relatives and friends and friends and friends and coworkers. What about me? What about you? I believe that I deserve a gift. I believe you deserve a gift, that it's time for us to give ourselves a gift and a break. They call it self-care. You know, that's a very big thing. I don't give a crap about self-care. I care about a vacation. But instead of going to the shore or to the beach or the lake or climbing up a mountain with some insane person, I want to go to the French Riviera. And I want to go with you. For years, I thought, you know, it'd be great to do a trip with a listener. Colette Travel. That's the name of an established, traditional, solid travel company has put together a package for you and me of Midnight Misfits to go to the French Riviera next October. Plenty of time, but not plenty of slots. I said it has to be a small group of people, and we stay in one hotel, and we get to go to the best spots on the French Riviera. And I want to send you this beautiful color brochure. Go to WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com. Scroll down till you see a picture of the French Riviera and click on the link.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Brand new theory about the death of John F. Kennedy, plus the head of the outer space UFO agency quit, fired. Details in seconds. Now, Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Another satisfied customer sets fire to the store. People of Walmart. Later, Sterling at night.
We have a police attack, a monkey attack, a nephew attack, and a dog gets baptized. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story about the robbery of a check cashing place in the Bronx that turns into a wild car chase before erupting into a gun battle at the Westchester County Medical Center. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Dave Scott, who's our UFO expert, our crop circle man, Dave Scott, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Always very exciting to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be back on your worldwide audience.
Now, Dave Scott, this week there was a major event in UFO land relative to the U.S. government. They formed a UFO committee or something, made somebody head of it, and then moments later the guy quits or gets fired. What happened?
Well, if you recall, a couple weeks ago we were talking about Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick and a lot of the real questionable things he was doing by not admitting that there was any type of information regarding UFOs. Well, he's decided to claim retirement early. So as of December 31st, he is no longer the head of the UFO program, which we call Arrow, at the Pentagon. He is stepping down. He is being replaced on the interim by a gentleman named Timothy A. Phillips, who is a lifelong person within the intelligence community, who knows a little bit about UFOs, but he's not going to be the guy. I'm hearing the race is down to two people. Who those people are, we do not know at this time.
What is the name of this committee?
Arrow.
What are they in charge of? What are they in charge of?
They are supposed to be in charge of every UFO or UAP sighting within the United States, whether it's military, whether it's the Federal Aviation Commission, whether it's NASA or anybody who has a UFO sighting, they want to know about it. The problem that we have here is Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick really shot down a lot of people and was caught lying a couple of times about whistleblower David Grush. And this really seemed to cause a lot of issue within the UFO community and the Pentagon community, from what I'm hearing.
Well, the man's job was to expose the truth about what we know of UFOs. Why so early in his tenure, where he owed nobody nothing, would he start lying?
Well, he really started putting down the whistleblowers that were starting to come out, especially David Grush, who was the man we talked about a few weeks ago, who stated that he had seen reports on while working for the UAPTF, which is the UAP Task Force under Jay Stratton, that the United States of America was in possession of UFO aircraft and their pilots. Now, where the lies come in was that David Grush had stated that in response to Sean Kirkpatrick in a private audience meeting that was recorded, that he knew was being recorded, okay, Kirkpatrick was saying that he had tried for months to get a hold of David Grush, but Grush had never reached out to them. Grush came out and proved through emails and everything that not once had the ATIP program, pardon me, the Arrow program, reached out to him. And in fact, it was the opposite way around, and they never responded.
There's a new hook, a new piece of information that I don't think you mentioned, I don't even know if you know about, relative to the JFK assassination and UFOs. Do you know about this piece of information that came out in the past few months?
That JFK, I believe it was JFK, was going to blow the rooftop off of the Roswell incident and number other incidents involving UFOs.
No, that's a little much. What it was is he sent a letter to the CIA saying that the CIA must share any information they have about UFOs with NASA, that they had to tell whatever they had on UFOs to NASA, and he wrote that letter and signed it, executive order, 13 days before the assassination.
Wow, that I did not know.
All right, now there's something else. There's a new Amazon Prime quote documentary about the JFK assassination. It just came out. It's called JFK X. And it's put together, it's done by a very successful film director and producer who's an expert on special effects. And he's an older gentleman, he's a veteran of the movie industry. He comes across as being very knowledgeable and very solid. And he went over the Zapruder film over and over and over again and pointed out that the Time Life prints of the Zapruder film were seriously degraded, but more importantly, that there were two edits in it. That Time Life had made two or had been told to make two edits in it. And when it was generally released and the prints came out, He's like, hi, I'm a film director. There are two edits here. Look at where these are. And that he believed Time Life should have been compelled to explain to the Warren Commission and any other government official body why were these edits made. But this is the sum of what he has to say. And it's worth the $1.98 on Amazon Prime to see this. It's called JFKX. It came out within the past few weeks. And I'm trying really hard to get the, wait, let me finish. And I'm trying really hard to get this guy on the show. Okay, this is his premise. His premise is that there were not one shot fired or two from the grassy knoll or one from the Texas Book Depository. He says there were no shots fired. He says, look at the crowd. You know, if a gun is shot, especially a really loud, nasty rifle like that one, they'd all be ducking, looking the other way. Where's that come? That isn't what the crowd shows. And then we learned something about Officer Tippett that I had never known. Maybe even you had never known about Officer Tippett. Do you know what his nickname was on the Dallas Police Force?
I do not.
JFK. Because they looked identical. You put two photos of them side by side, as you will see in this Amazon Prime documentary, and we're like, oh my gosh, like, they look the same. They have astonishingly similar features. And the premise of this documentary, which I will just give a little to, because I don't want to spoil it for you, because you want to see this, JFKX on Amazon Prime. The premise is, he says that there's a thing in movies called a squib. And a squib is a plastic pack filled with fake blood that can be ignited. So when you and I see people getting beaten up in movies and blood's coming out of their face and their arms, those are all squibs that are triggered either remotely or by pulling a string. And his premise is that what we saw on JFK's face was a fake blood pack, and the reasons for it and what happened then is worth seeing JFKX from Amazon Prime. So, yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just saw that today, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was the first explanation I've ever seen when you see all the pieces where there was nothing dangling. It was like, this makes perfect sense.
That is insane. Well, if you get a hold of this gentleman, you pass him my way, too, because I would love to interview him as well.
All right. It's called JFKX. It's on Amazon Prime. That's your homework for the weekday, Scott. I expect you to be prepared to talk about it next week.
If they have it available in Canada, I promise you I will watch it.
Let's not use that cheap Canadian excuse for not being available for something. That's just a cheesy excuse. There's the only difference between Canada and America is running lights on the car.
No, I'm telling you right now, it also includes Amazon and Netflix, where things are held back. I don't know why.
How do I get in touch with you during the week, Dave Scott?
Everything at spacedoutradio.com, my friend.
spacedoutradio.com. Thank you, Dave Scott, for being on Sterling on Sunday. Good evening, 17 past the hour. We're live on a Sunday night. There's nothing else live. It's a safe bet to stick with me. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Walmart is the highest billing company in the world. Let me repeat that. Walmart has the highest gross income of any company in the world. Beaver Creek, Ohio. I think the name of the high school team is the Beavers, but I'm not sure. 5:45 Monday evening, a dissatisfied firebug decided to set another fire inside a Walmart. Yes, a Walmart. And we don't really know why, because the firebug was 15 years old. Walked into the Walmart and just decided he was going to set fire to it. Good news, everybody was
found safe and they got out. The sprinkler system worked just perfectly, etc. The young man has been arrested for, they say it's a young man, by the way, and I'm not a biologist, so I can't confirm whether this is a young man or not. What I can say is that he's been arrested for a wide variety of juvenile detention things, including arson, vandalism, inducing panic, all juvenile felonies. And this youngster acted alone. Why go into a Walmart and set fire? The values are so good, you feel like you're robbing them in the first place. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
I have an 18-year-old daughter who got a tattoo. I don't want her to get another tattoo. I need advice on how to prevent her from getting another tattoo without making it a source of rebellion, a reason to rebel. Jim, at 888-688-9258. Jim, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
How you doing? The best thing to say to her is if she gets too many of them, say on her stomach, her abdomen, or her back, when she's an old hay, like when she turns 40, she'll look like a wet newspaper.
I'm so afraid, Jim, of how tattoos look as they age. No, I've never known a tattoo to age well. Tattoos don't age well, Jim.
They can get removed, but it's extremely painful and very, very time-consuming. Painful is probably the worst of all.
Did you have one removed, Jim? Did you have one removed?
No.
No.
No, no. I saw a movie called Skin. It's about a skinhead who becomes a FBI informant, and he wants to get all his Aryan crap tattoos removed, and it was very, very painful as it was portrayed in the movie.
Well, I'll tell you an amazing television show that exists in Great Britain. I'm going to tell you the title of the show, and when I first saw it, I'm like, come on, it can't be, but it's true. It's called Tattoo Removers on Holiday. Tattoo Removers on Holiday. This series follows people who remove tattoos for a living on their vacations. Who would come up with that? I mean, Jim, who would come up with that? Do you really live in San Francisco?
I sure do, right in the Tenderloin, the worst part of the city that you've heard about a lot lately.
I know, but I spent a lot of time in San Francisco. I used to program radio stations in San Francisco. And the Tenderloin, you know, would come and go. Sometimes the horrors of the Tenderloin were very cool and hip and happening, and other times they were best to avoid at noon. How long have you lived there, Jim? How long have you lived there?
In the Tenderloin since 97. Since 1997, at the height of the crack wars, with the gangs. And then it got a lot better, but then it went downhill after the George Floyd matter. The whole city went crazy.
So these reports are not exaggerated, Jim. The city has gone crazy.
No, they're not. They're not. And one other thing quickly. Has anybody looked at Kamala Harris lately on TV, our vice president? She looks a lot better. I think they got her off the sauce because she's probably going to be president pretty soon.
Well, Chris, I'm sorry. Well, Jim, you've terrified me on many levels now, and I thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday, and thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. The other topic of conversation that I need to be very clear about, I have two heroes today, And I want to say this absolutely correctly. So give me one second. Be patient with me here, because, you know, guys, it's a network radio show. Why would I prepare any more than is necessary? All right. Where is that piece of paper? Well, all right. Mark Rowan is the CEO of Apollo Advisors. And Apollo Advisors was the first money into Sirius Satellite Radio. For years, I consulted Sirius Satellite Radio in-house. So many of the things that you love on Sirius Satellite Radio, I'm happy to say that I put there. and about most of the management team I put there. And I look forward to those Christmas cards, guys, and those Christmas gifts and the expensive lunches to say thank you, Walter, for putting us in there. What? Oh, we haven't gotten any of those yet? Well, you know. Anyway, Mark Rowan and Apollo were the visionaries who put in first money into Sirius Satellite Radio. And now they bought a group of radio and TV stations called Cox Broadcasting, which is considered a premium group of stations, and it is. We used to be on WSB in Atlanta, and oddly, in the 9 years I've been doing this show, we've lost like one affiliate, and it was WSB, because the last thing that the last program director did before he left, before he retired, was cowardly cancel this show, which was silly, especially since he didn't pick up the phone and say, Walter, this is what we're going to do and why. But I'm not worried because Ken Charles is now at WSB. And it'll go back on. All right, now listen. Mark Rowan is probably the biggest contributor to the University of Pennsylvania. And he said to the other big donors, he said, don't give them another penny until the head of the Board of Trustees and the chancellor resign. And there is no other side, because you see, the University of Pennsylvania did not quickly come out and say that the situation in Israel is intolerable. But let me make it very clear what that situation is, so there's no confusion, so nobody imagines there's another side on Veterans Day. There's no other side. You're at breakfast. You're feeding your two-year-old in their high chair in your kitchen. The radio's on, just the two of you, having a nice, quiet morning. And at the window appears a person in a terrifying uniform and a ski black ski mask over their face. They take the butt of their rifle, slam it through the window of your kitchen, grab your two-year-old, and chop off their head in front of you. That's what people in Israel experienced. And that's why there is no other side. There's no other point of view. There's no other side. I salute Mark Rowan, CEO of Apollo, for your position, Sterling, on Sunday. Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, Beryl Kravitz, Dee Wells, John Kelly, Rosemary Furlong. We will reveal why people don't like us, why people don't like introverts. Weather, Dr. Day.
Sterling on Sunday, weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteor.
I don't understand anything I was just told. You're experiencing severe technical difficulties. Is that what you said? Now, can you hear me? All right, so we're not having any technical difficulties. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Bill Aikman at Harvard and Mark Rowan at the University of Pennsylvania have both chastised their universities for not coming out quickly enough, not coming out strongly enough, and not coming out clearly enough that the situation in Israel is intolerable. And I've never understood a situation where an ally says, hey, you know, pause, take it easy, no need to retaliate right now. Really? Let me remind you of the scenario. I'm in my kitchen in Israel. I have my two-year-old child. I'm feeding my kid food. A terrifying-looking figure appears in the window of my home, takes an AK-47 and smashes the window, grabs my baby, and beheads it in front of me. Now, what am I supposed to pause for exactly? I've always been suspicious that people who've served in the armed forces are really tired of strangers coming up to them and saying, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. As if we have any idea what it's like to commit service. And what I was told by the head of the American Legion is it's better to say thank you for my freedom. Thank you for my freedom. And I thank you for my freedom. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. There's Judy Anderson. Oh, my gosh. And Judy Pohl. And Charlie Green, who's a very big deal in North Jersey, like a very big deal guy, Charlie Green and his handsome son, very big deals in North Jersey. This is Sterling on Sunday, and good evening to you. Now, let's talk a little bit about why you and I are not liked. You and I are introverts. We're not normal. We like being up now. We enjoy driving the 18-wheeler in solitude and peace on a beautiful, magnificent night like this, with just the stars, just the moon, and way, way up there is the Love Truck Stop. But we're alone. Okay, this is why other people don't like introverts. You and I are introverts. Here are the top 10 reasons why we're not liked. You ready? We don't smile much. Number two, introverts have flat affect and get bored of people easily. I get bored of people very easily. Number three, we only have a couple of friends, and other people might get suspicious of that because the average person has about 10 to 5 close friends. I do not. All my life, I had one close friend and another friend. Number four, we need to recharge after listening to many people. This is an introvert equivalent to someone disabling or destroying an extrovert reputation. Okay. We avoid eye contact with anyone outside of our social circle, which is true. Some of us, at number six, some of us introverts have misanthropy outlooks on life. Even more extroverts have misanthropy outlooks on life. Number seven, we are private people. Number eight, we might only stick to family, like mom, dad, and a dog and a cat. Number nine, not paying attention to social cues, like rejecting or accepting someone's behavior, because sometimes we can be bothered. If they bother us, we can't pretend that we like them. We have no way to do that. And number 10, we don't like partying. Even some extroverts don't like partying, but to me, the worst thing is somebody says, okay, next weekend we're going to have a barbecue in the backyard. Why don't you come over? Well, I can think of 10 million reasons why I don't want to come over, because I have nothing to talk to you about. One of the challenges for me, and maybe you, of living in the suburbs, one of the great challenges of being a suburbanite, is that I can't passively go through my day. When I lived in the middle of Manhattan, I could walk up and down the street, up and down the avenues, be busy all day and not talk to anybody, but feel as though I had participated in the stream of life, because the stream of life in the middle of a city is robust and profound, and it energized me because I didn't actually have to talk to the stream of life. I could go in and buy a newspaper, a cup of coffee, a bagel and cream cheese, and never actually have to have a conversation. But in the suburbs, it's weird, because there's so fewer people. When I go to the pharmacy, or I pick up a cup of coffee, or I go to Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, they want to talk. They want to engage in a conversation. I don't want to have any conversation. And one of the great things about living in a Chicago or San Francisco or Sacramento is that if I'm in an apartment building, I'm not expected to know my neighbors. I'm not expected to talk to you. In fact, it's best if you don't. It's not an all unusual living in New York City in an apartment building to not know anybody on the floor at all, unless I make too much noise. That's really pretty much the only time I'd ever get to know anybody on the floor, is if I have to complain about them. But in the suburbs, I'm supposed to be vaguely pleasant to my neighbors. And I don't want to be vaguely pleasant to a couple people I work with, to my family, immediate family, certainly not my in-laws. And that's it. I don't want to have bond with the pharmacist. I don't want to bond with the person at the supermarket, because it depletes me. And this is where it gets confusing. To extroverts, they believe that you and I are arrogant, rude, impolite, shy, but that's not it. It depletes me to have casual conversation. Once I go forth into the world, to the cashier, the supermarket, the pharmacist, the doctor's office, it depletes me to have chit-chat. It depletes my energy. extroverts get charged up from this. I do not. And that's misinterpreted as that I'm rude, I'm impolite. But here's the risk of forcing myself to have that conversation. Forcing myself to have that conversation that I don't want to have. I will say something rude. I will say something misinterpreted. I will say something like, I hate it here. Or I'll say something like, you know, I really miss New York. Or I'll say something like, gosh, you know, I wish I could get to the airport right now. I'll say something that is, quote, insensitive. Why is he so insensitive? I was on a Zoom call with six of my 11-year-old's teachers. And the only reason I wanted to be on that Zoom call is I have a goal for my 11-year-old daughter. You ready to hear this? You want to hear this? I want her to be able to read. Isn't that insane? I want my 11-year-old to be able to read. She speaks at fourth grade level. She's in fifth grade. She speaks at fourth grade level. She reads at kindergarten level, and she cannot write. She can compose a story. She makes up amazing stories. She has a great creative mind. And when she spends thousands of hours in her playroom making up these stories, it's very impressive, some of the things that she comes up with, but she can't write them down. I'd like her to be able to read. And at the beginning of this Zoom call, the vice principal in charge of the Zoom call, my wife and I were saying, take her out of music class, which she doesn't like, and give her more one-on-one sessions of reading.
I'm just a kid.
Wow. Give her more one-on-one sessions of reading. Yes, she's just a kid. And the Zoom call started this way. It started by saying, well, no one person can decide to cancel music class. This has to be a team decision. What? Music class? This has to be a team decision that the kid doesn't have to learn to play the clarinet? That's a team decision? Six people have to get together on a Zoom call to decide that? How about six people getting together on the Zoom call to come up with the strategy that she will read at grade level by the end of the year? Okay, that's what my brain said. That's not what my mouth said. All I kept saying is, I want her to read. And I kept saying it like that, and I got louder and louder to the point where today I am not allowed on the Zoom calls because I will not let my staff be treated that way. I will not let my staff be treated that way. Really? I won't let my kid leave your school without being able to read. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by that Providence judge.
But a handicapped parking placard would allow you to park overnight.
Right.
Unless there's a storm.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
Telling you about life with our eight kids and our old house. When I'm out with the younger kids, as an older dad, do people have to assume that I'm their grandpa? I'm not a grandfather yet, but people say it to me all the time. Just happened. Just came back from Walmart. Checking my receipt, the guy says, oh, Pop-Pop's buying you ice cream, he says to my kid, my children.
Do you feel like you've been misgendered in a way, honey?
Not misgendered.
I mean, I know you weren't misgendered, but does it sort of feel like that? Like they're not calling you by the proper old man term.
Why do they assume I'm the grandfather, not the father?
I think that it's weird. I think it's rude. It's just like people asking, are they all yours? Are you done yet? Don't you know how that happens?
Right.
Maybe you ought to get a TV. It's the same kind of assumption, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's offensive like that.
And another example, I'm at the drugstore the other day with some of the kids, and the lady behind the register, who is probably older than me, says, I like going out with my grands, too.
Also,
I mean, that's what she says.
I get it. I know that they say it, and it's kind of shocking, like weird, like what? Yeah, why are you going to assume that? It's like assuming they're not ours because we have a plethora of them. It's making assumptions about the relationship. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like when we're out in our big van, they also assume we've trafficked all these children. We're kidnapping them and taking them away somewhere. Right.
In
but
the
it's
kidnapper
weird.
Van, in the kidnapper
right.
van,
like assuming that they're not ours in any way is offensive to me. Like assuming that they're a daycare. Like, oh, do you have a daycare? No, these are ours. They're all yours. Just like that. It's the same thing. Like, these can't possibly be yours.
Hilarious.
They must be your grands, which I will never call our grandchildren. They will never be our grands.
I know. I get it. My hair is gray. Okay. You have tennis elbow, or what is it called?
I have tennis elbow from crocheting granny squares, but let's not let that
all right,
lead
granny.
To anything that makes me sound like I'm old. I just like to crochet, and I always have, okay?
When you're crocheting something called a granny square?
Look, granny squares are not indicative of age, and neither is my tennis elbow. It's just that I crochet a lot.
So anyway, I don't know what else to say, except people need to have more babies and stop assuming just because I'm an older dad that I'm the grandpa.
So if you think people need to have more babies, does that mean we can have some more?
Follow me on Instagram, Dan Gaffney Show.
And I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky Sterling on Sunday.
I think what we need to do is next time I take a Sunday off, which, by the way, is rare, and for the first 7 years, I never took a Sunday off. Do you know that? I never took a Sunday off for the first 7 years. It's a radio fact. I think we'll have the Gaffneys do the show. I think that would be very entertaining because he's the morning man on our affiliate in Delaware. Dan Gaffney is a terrific host, but he doesn't do the show with his wife. And I think the two of them would be stars. I think a married couple doing a radio show would be stars today because they both have got it. They have that X factor. They're both entertaining. Interesting historical radio fact. For years, the spoken word talk radio stations were dominated by married couples. Most of the hosts were married couples. And what did they talk about? That they hated the Democrats? No, they talked about their day. They talked about trouble in meeting with the teachers, the engine light never going off, how much should the new brakes cost, or the ultimate crisis in anyone's home, water in the basement. There is nothing that could happen in Congress or on Fox News today or in some intellectual New York Times editorial or Washington Post editorial. There's nothing in there that could come close to what happens when we open the cellar door, basement door, depending on where you live, and seeing water on the floor. It doesn't matter if it's a millimeter or a foot. If there's water in the basement, that will consume my day. That will be it. And then it's especially exciting if I can't quite figure out where the water is coming from. That happened to me about 9 months ago. It came from a 100-year-old hot water pipe that was pumping steam through the house. And that only took us, 3 weeks to get fixed. That was pretty exciting. I'm getting so many requests about this wonderful vacation you and I are going to take to the French Riviera. I want you to get in before all the slots go away. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, with your real address. And I will mail you a brochure about our trip, not 10 other trips, just ours. They made up Colette Travel made up a beautiful brochure for us. Or go to the website right now and get the information. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, and click on the link where you see a beautiful picture of the French Riviera. You'll see a beautiful picture of the French Riviera, the beach at Nice. Click on that. You'll get the information. You'll see what it's about. Get the facts. We don't have to do anything today because the trip takes place next October. Isn't that great? You get time to get the funds together and your passport and make your plans. And the greatest gift that I can receive today is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.